from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be good.
Good evening to all listeners. Thank you for tuning in to Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. And I'll start first with a few news items. And then tonight, LP Hetty will be joining. So we'll be continuing the parenting issues as well. But first, a few news items. Last week, I spoke extensively about the UFO issues. This evening, there are a few news items as well in that line. This evening, I was talking to one bishop's wife in Accra, and, you know, we were discussing this thing. And, you see, it's unfortunate that the church will be quiet about very serious issues like this UFO thing, and then our members or the average believer will be ignorant about it, and then when it increases to the point where the world is now used to it, the deception would have taken a stronghold on people's minds. At that point, it becomes more difficult to convince them that this is demonic. This is not of God, because they've seen it and they've become normalized to it. You see, the human brain is such that, like, when you get exposed to something over a period of time, eventually it stops making an impact on you after a while, because you are used to it. So it's normal, it's nothing new. So when people don't get the truth, but then they get exposed to the lies over a period of time, they accept that and embrace that as the truth. So now when we who have the truth begin to now share the truth to counter the lies, if you are not careful, people will say that, oh, no. I mean, it's too late, because they've already embraced it. So that's why some of us will talk about it, so that people get to know the truth, that these things are demonic. As simple as it is, we'll talk about it. And it's a fact that it's real as well. It's not some fiction. No, it's real. We'll talk about it this evening. Just a few news items, and then before we get into our main discussion. But the first issue, which I think is of concern, is WHO chief warns Ebola outbreak is spreading rapidly and upgrades risk assessment. I mean, just this evening, I was, just before I started, I was talking to Pakwisi, that asking, so why are they not stopping flights from Uganda and DRC? You know, sometimes you'd wonder that in such a serious issue, I mean, if nothing at all, we should learn from COVID. Countries refuse to close their borders and allow the thing to spread. And after it has spread extensively before now, they lock the borders and say, what? You know, so you ask yourself, is it that it's an intentional agenda to allow the thing to spread to the whole world so that they can do what they want to do with it? Because the thing started 2 weeks or so ago, why didn't they close the airport to DR from, I mean, DRC, so that no flights to the rest of the world? But they've looked on. People are traveling. Now it has moved to Uganda. People are also traveling from Uganda. And you see, so by the time, you see, if for anyone who has watched this movie, Contagion, C-O-N-T-A-G-I-O-N, Contagion, I mean, you'd understand. You see, when I'd watched that movie before COVID came, so you see, when you watch it, you get a fair understanding of how these things spread. So just from one corner of the world, eventually it can spread to the whole world. And that's how we saw with COVID. You see, so it's amazing that this Ebola is moving and we are watching. So WHO, as usual, they will make the noise. But what actions? I believe the greatest action is closing the borders of Uganda and DRC. So now, according to the numbers, 750 people have been affected and 177 have died. That is staggering, because if 750 and 177 have died out of that, that's a high percentage. Yeah. So, well, let's just hope and pray that it ends as it's ended in previous Ebola outbreaks, that it didn't go that far to other countries. All right. So this news is very interesting. I saw it this evening. Trump shows AI image of himself walking with an alien in chains at military base. So President Donald Trump has once again ignited online frenzy by sharing a surreal AI-generated photograph on his Truth Social platform, depicting him walking alongside a muscular alien creature restrained in chains. According to reports circulating on social media and news outlets tracking the president's late-night activity, the image shows Trump striding confidently at what appears to be a military-style facility with gray-skinned extraterrestrial figure shackled at the hands and feet beside him. The post, which quickly went viral, comes amid administration's recent declassification of extensive UAP, that's unidentified anomalous phenomena, files, fueling speculation and amusement in equal measure. The image is widely recognized as satirical, and then the content rather than a genuine photograph. Yet, its sharing by the president has drawn a mix of laughter from supporters and raised eyebrows from critics. It ties into Trump's ongoing emphasis on transparency regarding unidentified aerial phenomena and potential extraterrestrial matters, following his directives for the release of government records on the topic. Okay, then the next news item. There was this interview by this retired researcher. So the next headline is, ex-government researcher claims four alien species have been pulled from crashed UFOs. According to a report from the New York Post, a prominent former CIA-funded scientist has made explosive claims that the United States has retrieved biological remains of four separate extraterrestrial species from downed unidentified flying objects. Dr. Hal Puthoff, an 89-year-old quantum physicist and longtime advisor to the Pentagon's Advanced Aerospace Weapons Systems Applications Program, dropped the revelation during a Thursday appearance on Steve Ballett's popular The Diary of CEOs podcast. He was joined by Dan Farah, director of the documentary Age of Disclosure. People who have been involved in recoveries have said there are at least four separate types, Puthoff stated. Now, I have not had direct access to that, but I believe the people I talked to four separate types of life. Puhoff stopped short of describing the beings himself, but his longtime collaborator, Dr. Eric Davis, has previously identified the four species as greys, Nordics, insectoids, and reptilians. All reportedly have a basic humanoid form with two arms and two legs. Nordics and reptilians stand roughly 6 feet tall, while greys are smaller and large eyes and hairless bodies. Reptilians are described as scaly and lizard-like with tails, and insectoids resemble upright praying mantises. The claims add fuel to long-running assertions by whistleblowers. Former Air Force intelligence officer David Grush testified before Congress in 2023 that the United States possesses non-human biologics recovered from multiple crash sites. Farah, whose film exposes alleged crash retrieval programs, described the extreme caution surrounding the topic. I've talked off record with some people who are involved in these recoveries, he told Ballet. They will not go on camera to do interviews, he recounted one potential witness who backed out days before filming, writing that participation would mean forfeiting my life. Forfeiting my life. Hey, okay. And the final news item, that's quite interesting. Exorcist reveals chilling encounter that made him believe UFOs are the work of Satan. According to a report from Daily Mail, a veteran Catholic priest and exorcist has come forward with a personal encounter that has convinced him UFOs are not extraterrestrial but instruments of Satan. I agree. Father Carlos Martins, an Ontario-born cleric who has conducted exorcisms globally, warns that such phenomena form part of a deliberate spiritual strategy to erode faith in Christian teachings. This is what last week I was talking about. Let me repeat. He warns that such a phenomena form part of a deliberate spiritual strategy, underlying spiritual strategy, to erode faith in Christian teachings. Martin described how a close friend from his hometown, who later converted to Christianity, witnessed a staggering event years earlier. Whilst walking with another companion on a weeknight along suburban trails leading into a large park, the pair suddenly spotted an enormous spacecraft hovering silently overhead. The craft appeared vast, spanning the length of many football fields with visible surface details. Moments later, it accelerated away at an impossible speed, vanishing instantly to the speed of a bullet without a gradual build-up. Disturbingly, no other residents reported the sighting. There were no news reports, emergency calls, or signs that anyone else had seen the colossal object. The friend later concluded it was no alien vessel. No question, it was the devil, he told Martins after his conversion. Martins recounted the conversion. He said, if I were to buy into this concept of there being extraterrestrial life, then it would cast a doubt on the Christian account of what exists in the universe of God's plan for it. In an interview with Daily Mail, Martins explained the broader threat. If the devil brings it out, he can put it into the human imagination that there is extraterrestrial life. Then he can cause doubt in the scriptures, he said. He noted a marked rise in UFO-related elements appearing in exorcism cases over the past decade, often mirroring the terror and the memory gaps seen in demonic oppression. He confirms exactly what last week I was talking about, that ultimately, this is a nice way, well-packaged strategy of attacking Christianity, undermining the gospel, undermining God, undermining the whole essence of the Christian faith. And it is serious because this generation, unfortunately, happens to be the one that is most exposed to sci-fi movies and this terrestrial movies, you know, the flying things, the Batmans, the Superman. Like, this generation is seeing it more than any other in video games, in movies, you know, a lot of scientific fiction depicts these things. So the children have been exposed to it extensively. The teenagers have been exposed to it. The youth have been exposed to it. And the younger adults too have been exposed to it through movies, through games, internet-related things. So people's minds have been exposed to these things. So now when they move a notch higher to now claim that these beings are indeed real, in which, yes, they are, but the source is where the issue is. But when now they start manifesting and they now start interacting with human beings, they start going viral and they start telling their stories, which would, of course, be designed to undermine the truth, the Bible, and castigate and cast down Christianity that one is the fiction and they rather are the real ones. I can tell you for a fact, this generation will fall for that lie, because we have a generation that is eager to see. They will just want to, you know, look at the way things trend online, TikTok. Just let one alien meet a young celebrity, influencer, whatever they call them now, and interact, do a podcast, an interview with this influencer, and let it trend in the world and see the damage it will cause in the lives of the youth. They will believe it. So when this alien UFO comes, and alien comes, says that, oh, they are the real creatures of God, and all that those people referring to us, we the Christians, all that we've been saying for years, it's all lies. So now they've come to correct the truth. And now they start showing themselves. And indeed, you are seeing them. Now the debate is going to be, which one is the truth? The one that you have to believe by faith that you don't see? Or the one that you are seeing that he says, we are the creatures of God, that you are seeing on your phone talking? This is where we are headed. This is all, it's not as simple as, oh, it's just UFO stories. I like what the Catholic priest said. It's designed to deceive and undermine Christianity. And it has started. That's why last week I started talking about it, because as soon as the U.S. government started releasing it, I knew we are headed towards a major explosion of these things. It's the starting point. The church cannot be silent about it, because if we keep quiet, the real harm is ahead, where the deception is going to be so grand and real. The youth will see it and they will fall in love with it. Oh, no. I mean, the Batmans and all this, look at the way they love it. The children love it. They want to have their school bags, their school books, all these, flying things. And then now when it's real, they can see it and they come harmless. They interact. And you have influencers who also be available to, you know, be ambassadors, interact with them, take photos, videos, interviews, podcasts, and it will trend. and you see, if the church cannot imagine what I'm talking about, and we downplay these things as, oh, it has no effect, we are in trouble already. Because when there's a plan that if you can't see that this is where the thing is headed, then you're already deceived, because that means they will deceive you without any sweat at all. So, I believe as we talk about these things, Christians, let's pray for God's discernment. Let's pray for wisdom. Let's pray for the understanding. And then as I said last week, it's also the time to teach people the fundamentals. People should have the fundamentals so that they cannot be deceived that this is rather the truth and that is false, when rather we have the truth. But see, because it takes a lot of effort to let people really understand the truth and to hold on to the truth. Sadly, we are not doing that much in terms of getting the youth and the word, like the children and all, to be well grounded in the word. It's a missing link now. And that is the advantage they will take, because like filling the gap, identifying the gap. Oh, okay. There's a gap of the word in the children. I saw a Nigerian pastor this week. He said, it's the most amazing statement. Is he a Nigerian? I've forgotten who, but he said, we are training a lot of, weed smoking high believers. It's like people are jumping all over the place, but without any substance, spiritual substance. People are just high spiritually, but there's no word. They are shallow. Any wind of doctrine will blow them. Any wind of doctrine will blow them. So, well, let me end the news here. And, well, it's time we get to know that the word of God should be delved in deeper, because that is the only way we can stand against deception. The word of God. The word of God. All right. So, welcome, LP Hetty.
Thank you very much, Brother Eben. Good evening to our lovely listeners. In fact, our conversation is a bit. I'm getting emotional already, and I mean, look, with what we are coming to discuss this evening, and everything. I mean, the news item you just said with us.
Yeah.
I was just, as we were talking, I was just there's this video I chanced on. And Brother Eben, I wanted to understand what was behind the video. So the video was about a young man in college or high school playing hockey.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, in the US often they have rich families sponsoring the school. So that's what happened. There was another one. This one is a Christian, but he lost his parents, so he's been taking care of his sister. And then this other captain of the team, in fact, they were kind of rivals in the same team because they were both good. But this other one is from a very rich family, and they sponsor the team. But along the way, he went to his locker after practice one day and saw a love letter. And with a description, this first gentleman thought the love letter was to his sister from this other captain. So he was very upset and decided to fight him. Fast forward. No, the love letter was for him from this other captain. Both males.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, the first gentleman fought it. He fought him. Mm-hmm. And fought everything. But this is the eye-opener. The gentleman went subtly, as if, oh, it's innocent, there's nothing wrong.
Reconciliation.
Exactly. I mean, it's okay to have such feelings. You need to. And before long, at the end, this other boy, this first boy, fell in love with the boy. And now he said that he doesn't have feelings for girls anymore. And so he ended up with a guy. And at the stadium, the whole stadium, went yay, shouting, cheering them on, because they've declared their love in public.
Oh yeah, now US, that's how it is. So they call it coming out of the closet.
So with this news too about, this evening our topic is basically why parents must become spiritual translators before the world becomes their children. Their child's teacher. I want us to read a scripture. I mentioned this scripture to you some time back recently. Judges chapter 2, verse 10.
Judges
chapter 2, verse 10.
I know where we are headed.
Thank you.
Trouble.
So, after that whole generation, the Bible says, after that whole generation had been gathered to the ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Number one, they didn't know God. Number two, they didn't know his works. Brother Eben, this verse breaks my heart. I mean,
it is.
It breaks my heart, not because the children rebelled.
They were not taught.
Because somewhere, adults became silent.
And it's a direct contradiction disobedience, rather, yes, to judge Deuteronomy chapter 6.
There's where he says, teach them. The instruction said, teach them, yes, when you are walking, so when you are eating.
And the reason why God said they should teach was that so that they do not worship other gods.
This doesn't happen.
And that's exactly what. So I was speaking somewhere, and I was telling them that oftentimes, so the Joshua generation people, but I said, when you read Judges well, chapter 2 especially,
that was their error.
You can see that the Joshua generation failed.
They failed.
This is just the generation that Joshua's
after
group.
That generation.
And the next generation. So if the generation just after Joshua didn't know what God did, then what were they telling
God? And
didn't
know who he was.
It's serious. Extremely serious. Extremely. I mean, see how I've colored my phone, that part of the Bible, different. Every verse has a different color. But I've done an extensive study, and anytime I read those parts, I feel very worried.
God help us. So, the verse does not talk about or does not say that a generation hated God.
Yeah.
It says they did not know him, which means somebody stopped explaining. A parent or a father or a mother stopped telling stories about God, about Jesus.
What he has done.
Yes. Somebody stopped modeling the faith our children should see. Somebody assumed they go to church.
So they are fine.
They will figure it out. They are fine. But children rarely just know God. They must be shown God. And so this evening, I want to draw our listeners' attention to the most dangerous thing parents can outsource.
Yeah.
As we talk about negative influence, bad influence, I mean, you rightly said it. Imagine one of these, aliens just appear to a celebrity and then they have an interview or he videos. Before you know, all these children go following them because that's why they are influencers. So the least is just to have a phone or a video of them and then that's it. And like you said, they come innocently, they come calmly, they come like all goody-goody. But it's like wolves in sheep's clothing. Exactly. Just like the story I said earlier. The gentleman was very calm, very nice. It's like, I support you, I want you to do well, but the intention was to turn the boy into gay, which ended up like that. So my question to our listeners is, who is discipling your child? Most parents I ask, some of them will say, oh, that's why they are in school. School is good. The environment your child in, where your child goes to see is key.
Yeah.
But no. Some say, oh, they go to church. In fact, I remember very well, Brother Eben, when I was young, my aunt of blessed memory, Sundays, she wakes us up very early, prepares everything, and then sends us to church. She doesn't go to church.
Oh.
And then it was Presby. And, we were so active in church. So one of the days, often it happens in me, but it happened to me. The church elders, often when they come to the house, my auntie would tell us to tell them she's not around. And the truth is that the reason why they kept coming after her, she had one of the most amazing auto voice. When you're singing and she decides to sing auto, you melt. So I think she had joined the singing band and she wasn't going. So one beautiful Saturday evening, as usual, the people came around and then they asked, Omame Waho. And I was like, as young as I was like, Epacho, Oshedemo, Oshempanase, but Osame Kajamiso Niho.
Hey!
But then I remember it's like yesterday. when they left, in fact, they had to go to the room, knock on the door. Auntie Elizabeth, that was her name. Auntie Elizabeth, you name so woho. Yes, so the PMI away. Nanadwa catch her so woho.
Nanadwa nui.
Nanadwa nui. She came out sadly. And then she was like, oh, let me home for me. I mean, all that. Baba Devon, this is what happened. That was her last day at home. Mm-mm. After that visit, she never missed church until she died.
Whoa.
And I mean, her burial was, I mean, one, it was like a whole, it was different. The church took everything. So, what am I saying? Most times, we parents leave our children to church. We tell them to go. Mm-hmm. We turn ourselves into signboards, direct them to church, but we don't go to church. We leave discipling our children to the children ministry, to, I mean, teachers, to anybody but ourselves.
Yeah.
But God gave one assignment first. And that is what you said, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6-7.
Yeah.
We should teach them. It was a command. Impress them on our children's hearts. Because you see, as we are saying all these things, seeing all these things, if our children understand the truth, and then an alien comes and says, I am the true, we are the true creatures, or we are the true images or creatures of God.
We are the real.
The child knows from Psalm 139 verse 4 that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The child understands his or her identity. So God never said we should delegate. He said discuss daily at home, walking, eating, living. If parents do not become spiritual translators, the world becomes spiritual teachers. But Eben, the next thing I want parents to understand is children do not lose God in one day.
It's a gradual process.
It's a gradual thing. And it starts young. Over the weeks, we discussed, I mean, what influences them and what we should watch out for.
Yeah.
Children drift gradually. Mm-hmm. First, conversation disappears. We stop having conversations with our children about who God is, about what He is capable of, about the matters in the Bible. I mean, what they did, what they went through. Wonder disappears, conviction disappears, identity disappears. You know, it starts gradually. When the conversation disappears, all these things disappear.
Okay, pause yes. on that phrase or that statement or that word. The question is, what is making it possible for conversation to disappear in homes now?
Great, I was going to get there.
Okay.
It starts with, so if I can finish. Most children do not wake up and reject God. They quietly stop seeing where He fits. Now, what makes conversations drift away? Let's bring it to our everyday lives. There are times we assume, my 5-year-old is too young. I mean, komo ben kwana miti mini nidi. Or my 11-year-old, why should I have such conversation with him or her? 4 questions children are secretly asking. I want to bring parents' mind to how we can have conversations to them with our children. Because often we assume
they know.
Number one, we assume it's not needed.
Yeah.
We assume, where should I start from? Mm-hmm. And we assume, my child will not understand. Yeah. But children are silently asking, who am I? We don't know, but psychologists, they always ask, who am I?
The identity question.
The identity question.
Yeah.
Number 2, who sees me? So, your child goes somewhere, and then their friends hail them, their friends make them feel special, then their friends see them.
Yeah.
Where do I belong? There are 4 questions they ask. Who am I? Who sees me? Where do I belong? What am I worth? Now, if we as parents, we do not answer these questions, the children will go and look for it out. So now, this is a conversation starter. Mm-hmm. Parents, if you are listening, write it down. Your child is asking, who am I? Try and answer that question. Mm-hmm. Number two, your child is asking, where do I belong? Number three, what am I worth? Mm-hmm. And number four, who sees me? So if you're able to answer these questions for your child, for your children, they carry that as an identity. And so when they are met with anything that is not of God, they're able to identify.
Yeah.
And that's why I mentioned Psalm 139 verse 14. Children who know who they are created, who know who they are, they hardly look for approval or validation from anyone or anywhere. Somebody will say, what if peer pressure is actually a discipleship problem? It is. Peer pressure is actually a discipleship. When a child doesn't receive that kind of discipleship, let's look at how Jesus worked with the 12. He knew all their shortfalls. He knew that one day Peter will cut somebody's ears. He knew how quick-tempered Peter was. Yeah. Forget about Judas. He knew Judas long ago. But at the end of the day, he was with them. He walked with them. Listen, when Jesus died, that was when we really saw the authority and the power the disciples carried.
Yeah.
Peter preached and at a go, 3,000 people got changed. So, what we are discussing, their parents, maybe you think the conversation will not really yield anything or it will not go anywhere. But please do it. Have it with them. One day in your absence, it will speak for them. Somebody will say, what if what we call peer pressure is actually identity hunger? Children follow voices they trust.
Yeah.
Children trust voices they hear. Who is speaking most into your child? Friends? Phones? Algorithms? Celebrities, like you mentioned? Brother Eben,
yeah.
Teachers, parents, or God. Now the thing is, the loudest voice wins. The loudest voice. Church attendance is not the same as knowing God, dear parents. Yeah. Many children know their church clothes, church songs, church language, church attendance, but they do not know how God comforts. Have you sat your child down to discuss how God can comfort you? He comforts you when you feel lonely or when you feel, I mean, sometimes even when me as your mother or your father, when I hurt you, how you can just go to God instead of going to pick your phone and go through your phone or try and speak to your friend.
Yeah.
Even me as your parents, if I hurt you, learn how to go before God and tell God how God forgives, how God guides, how God speaks, how God corrects. Can your child explain why they believe or only where they attend church? Now, I want parents to have this, start having this conversation. Five conversations that protect children. Talk about mistakes. Let your child know. It's okay to make mistakes. And mistakes are bound to happen. If you are intentional about having conversations, you see, most times, like I mentioned, we assume they know, or we assume they will know, or we assume there's no need. But please, you start small.
Yeah.
Let them know about mistakes. Let them know about temptation. Mm-hmm. Look at this young man, rich young guy. At a point, a gentleman mentioned that he's a Christian. His parents are Christian. And Christianity is against gay and LGBTQ. Mm. But this friend came in subtly, just convincing him, trying to.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, he ended up standing in front of a whole stadium and proclaiming he's gay. So we tell our children about temptations. We discuss forgiveness with them. These are conversations we can have with our parents. So parents listening to us, write them down. Friendship. Have conversations about friendships with your child. Conversation about identity. And listen, don't do it at once.
It's a gradual.
It's a gradual thing. But it should be consistency.
Yeah.
Homes that talk deeply raise children who think deeply. Homes that talk, that chat deeply, they raise children who think deeply. So, questions that open a child's heart. Parent, I want you to begin, write it down. Tomorrow morning, if you can, or tomorrow, ask your child, if your friends described you, what influences you most? What will they say? If I should meet your friends and ask them, what influences you? Find out what influences your child. Ask your child this question. If I meet your friends and I ask them, whatever answer he gives or she gives, discuss. You're having conversation with your children. Your child might be 5 or 6. Hey, mommy, I don't know what influences me. Break it down.
Yeah.
What makes you happy? What gets you excited? Maybe that's what probably your 6-year-old or your 5-year-old or your... And then say, oh, I like playing this. Okay, discuss. Number two, what values should nobody talk you out of? This means that you should teach your children values.
Yeah.
Honesty, humility, obedience, responsibility. These are all values you can teach your children.
Yeah.
Integrity. So you can decide that at home, every week, or even every month, you pick one value. And that's a value for the family this week.
Yeah.
A value, family value for the week is faith.
You know something? All that we are talking about, I'm just reflecting.
Yeah.
What is fighting this?
What is fighting this?
Devices. Phones. Parents have been distracted from family time.
Very
conversations with their children. All because phone addiction. And
with the parent themselves.
It's serious. It's serious. This issue, one parent told me, these things you are saying.
it's not nice, but it's just like that week.
No, she said, Charlie, I mean, she's become addicted to TikTok. She goes there. She can't stop.
Yeah.
Scroll. But that like 2 hours gone. You know, so, you see, this week I was thinking that technology... Now, I can say it. I'll say it boldly because I'm in that zone.
Mm.
Technology has caused more harm than good.
Because more.
This week, I saw one news item. I was sad because they've designed a calculator app.
Mm.
But this calculator app is meant to hide things.
Wow.
So when you... Like the child is, let's say, watching something bad and sees the parents coming.
Mm.
As soon as he turns the phone, that will be activated. So when you come, you see, oh, it's something.
The child is using the calculator.
And it is hidden. So there's no way you can know that there's something. So it's like it's a cover for evil storage. So this is, I mean, I shared it with one expert, forensic. Mm. I mean, I'm studying forensics now.
Yeah.
Digital forensics, cybersecurity. And I shared it with one of the lecturers. And his reply was, because, I mean, he is a Christian, a pastor and all that. And it's like, this is how, you see, so intentionally someone has designed to hide things.
Yeah.
So the children, so that they can hide.
They can easily hide whatever it is.
You realize, as you are thinking of solving a problem,
there's another.
They create 10 more problems. This is the generation we are in.
Yeah.
So parents really have to understand the severity of this discussion.
Yeah.
That somebody is actually scheming. I don't mean a human being, but the devil is actually scheming to ensure that homes are broken, homes are destroyed, and the most effective way now that is working is mobile phones. It's destroying homes. We can run away from that fact. It is destroying
homes. It is.
This evening, I spoke with one friend, good friend in Texas, Houston. We were talking, and I had to end because of the time program issue. So I thought, like, when I get home,
I will just continue
the conversation. And she told me, said, Deben, 9-year-olds are being given birth control pills.
Yeah.
At school.
Yeah. It's there.
And so it's like, I mean, how do you think of it? 9-year-olds being given birth control pills.
Some started from their parents. Some receive it from their own parents.
And now the schools is giving.
And even here in Kumasi, they take their children to the hospital for the implants.
Implants?
Oh, yeah.
Asantimemwa?
Yes.
Asamaba. Hey!
Asamaba. Before they go to the secondary school, they take them for implants.
So prevention.
Exactly.
So instead of talking abstinence, it's rather...
It's happening. And as you were just, saying the reflection thing, I was just thinking, you know, the Bible says in the last days, your sons and your daughters will begin to prophesy.
Yeah.
So as you were talking about, we trying to, as in you bring a solution or you direct, you see the truth, you are trying to curb or you are trying to stop one challenge, then somebody also intentionally creates another one, yes. But there was this thing I listened to that encouraged me, Brother Eben. You see, God knows the generation we are in.
Oh, yeah.
And so, amazingly, he's also raising...
A remnant.
But he can't do it if we parents continue to hold on to what is dragging... Like you said, what is stopping these conversations?
Yeah.
As you are listening to us, dear listeners, you can't change it at once.
Yeah.
At least imagine you've listened this evening. Probably the children might be sleeping or is late. Tomorrow morning, whatever it is you've heard, you start practicing. You start having conversations. It's gradual.
Yeah.
Little by little, you will get your child beginning to understand. You get your child. It might sound weird, especially if it's not happened before. You've never had such conversations with them. But there should be a start. The key thing is you start. And now, we don't have to have 3 hours conversation. In fact, you'll be boring. So now you need is just 5 minutes of consistency or 3 minutes of consistency.
At least, it should start somewhere.
It should start somewhere.
You know, because if we, the way things are going, if we don't decide to really take control and do something about it, we are losing more than we are gaining forward.
Yeah.
You know, because I heard some things from, like, the university, some of the things happening from the counseling.
Oh, that one a lot. I mean.
It's sad.
Very, very sad. And very heartbreaking.
I plan to bring one of the counselors to come and also talk about it. Let parents understand the realities on the ground. You know, last year I had the SU... One of the SU leaders, Ashanti Ujin SU, and we had a series where he really talked a lot about so that parents know what is happening in the schools.
The things their children, the reality with their children.
But you see, it starts somewhere and it progresses. So what we heard or what we've been hearing about happening in the secondary schools, it transforms and advances
and goes at to the
university. Because even now they have more freedom. So, it's compounding in various ways. And see, the bottom line is, it starts somewhere. And this is what I want parents to understand, that let's start something. Because if we fail to start something at home, we are losing. We are losing the battle. because see, there's no other way to put it, but the harsh reality is we are losing the battle if we don't start something. If you don't talk to them, somebody will talk to them at school.
Oh, yes.
And as I keep describing them, these are satanic ambassadors who have been well-positioned.
Mm.
They are in to come and groom and destroy. Oh, yes, they've been well-assigned. They come to the school. They have number of children to souls to, I mean, account for.
Yeah.
So they are agents on the mission, destroying lives with money. Some have money. Some have everything, whatever they can use to influence.
Mm.
And they are pulling the crowds. All means possible. They are doing it. If we keep quiet, we'll lose a generation.
We will.
You see, and I like the verse you started with.
Yeah.
If it was possible for that generation to be lost. You see, today we read the story of the Red Sea crossing and we believe it.
We believe it.
For those on my channel, the Issues channel on YouTube, I shared the scientific.
True.
They found the Red Sea crossing, chariots, scientific. They found
they it. They found some the of the things. Yeah.
Yes. To scientifically confirm that indeed there was a crossing that happened, that chariots, and you see, it's in a line. So clearly, it can. So, yes, we even read the Bible and believe it without even seeing any scientific evidence. Mm-hmm. By faith, we believe that, yes, indeed, it happened. Moses
they
crossed.
Experienced it, yes. They failed to talk about
it. But if the generation that experienced it, the next after them, didn't know their story, I don't know how to describe that generation. Because.
So, but then. We are still trying to help our parents have conversations with their children.
Yeah.
So, still on that one, another conversation starter is to ask your child, if everyone left because you chose right, will you still choose right? And then, whatever your child says, start a conversation from there.
Yeah.
That question may protect their future.
Oh, this week I had
okay.
A similar thing.
Okay.
You know the textbook, they have some funny
some of the text
songs, hip life songs.
Oh yeah, creative arts.
So my son this one of the mornings.
Yeah.
My son were going to school and he said he wants my phone to learn a song. I said, huh, which song? I mean
sometimes so, it's Codrain Tree, sometimes it's
from him. I said, I said, tell your teacher that you are not learning any song. You don't need any marks for that. You don't need. So I got in touch with the head, and the head didn't know.
Yeah.
Because he said, no, they are against
it. It's in the textbooks.
Yes, yeah, so said, but they should exist. They are not going for it.
I think Bob Marley and all those things.
So now, I think yesterday or so, he wants my phone. He was learning this song by Victoria Renzia. Huh?
Yeah. And then Sisiwanas is also there.
We'll go that way.
it happens. It's in a textbook. So like you're saying, if the child doesn't know the identity or, the school is not firm on it in a way, before you know it, the child is learning but has now become a follower of, academic sake.
And it starts somewhere.
So, what I want to ask parents, or I want parents to ask, probably I will be ending on this one, is what, you see, Madeben, the reality is, sometimes we are, let me not say sometimes, the reality is we the parents are the problem.
We most cases are.
We are the problem.
Oh yes.
But I want you to ask your child, because I had a conversation with my children some time back, one evening, and I was shocked at what they told me. The question was, what am I doing that makes you afraid to speak to me honestly?
Mm-hmm.
One of them, my son, said, you will scream. And sometimes you will not say anything, but your face... makes it difficult for me to continue again.
Mm-hmm.
And please, parent, I shared it with us some time back. When we ask our children the questions and they answer, even if you are shocked, calm down.
They will react like a snail going back into the shell.
They will just crawl back.
They won't come back again. They will say
they will not have it.
Yeah.
So honestly ask your child, if you are not sleeping and you are listening to us, what am I doing that makes you afraid to speak to me honestly? Because sometimes our children really want to open to us, but how we will respond, yeah, how we will go about it. So rather, they will keep it. Mm-hmm. When they say it, please, listen. Don't defend. Don't defend. How? And the reason why I screamed at you is because you were doing this, you were doing that.
Okay.
Don't defend it.
Okay, you mate.
Oh, I. And then your mate is sometimes it's a tricky your mate. It's like, okay, what is mommy thinking? What is daddy thinking? This your mate is.
It's loaded.
It's loaded.
To be continued.
It's waiting for you. Please, and then do not explain. Like, don't defend. Don't explain. And most importantly, to a very spiritual, don't preach. The child opens up to you. What is it that makes you afraid? And then the child says immediately, the Bible says that you are. Please, the moment you do that, the child will call back.
Yeah, it should be an open.
Listen.
Open conversation.
Just listen.
Yeah, open.
And then you tell your child, listen, you can tell me difficult things. Yeah. Tell whatever is difficult, tell me. Maybe I've not been too okay, forgive me.
Yeah. But going forward.
But going forward, I want you to be able to see me as the safest place you can walk to. Mm-hmm. Brother Eben, there's this movie I watched. It's a series, actually. I think Off Campus. It just came recently. It's not too... for children,
yeah,
but there's a scene that I wish every parent, every mother can watch. Now, the whole story is about a girl in college who was haunted by her past. When she was in high school, she was actually raped. She went for a party and then she was drugged. And then she was raped. In the end, she was raped by a minister's son. A government official son. And then at the end, because they have access, they had money, they had all that, they turned the thing and put the blame on the girl that she did it. She tempted the boy, she did all that. In the end, the girl's father lost his job. Her mother also lost her job. Wow. Now, fast forward in college, in the university, She was very intelligent, and then she was, on scholarships and all, but she had to fight. You have to protect your scholarship by doing some other courses to earn. Mm. So one of the days, there was a challenge, and then she was going to lose the scholarship. So out of the shame and everything, she called her mother.
Yeah.
And she was just crying. And then she said, "Mommy, I'm sorry, I failed you." And the mother said, "What did you do wrong?" Now, because of time, let me say this. As she kept crying, as she kept saying she has failed, she's the reason why her father lost her job. She's the reason why her mother does, her parents were like, they were coming, she should stop worrying. They are going to help her pay for the fees. Okay. And then she said she's the reason why they lost this. Blah, blah, blah. Then the mother said, "Pause. What did you do wrong?" Then she was quiet. She said, "No, tell me, what exactly did you do wrong?" "You didn't do anything wrong. Everything happened to you. You didn't go and rape. You were raped. You couldn't defend yourself. It was turned against you. You didn't make us lose our job." So all the blame, as the girl kept blaming herself, when the mother said, "You didn't do anything wrong. Life happened to you. And listen, you are one of the bravest girls I've ever met. With all this, you are still on scholarship. You are a scholarship child. You are performing very well." The child calmed down. Mm-hmm. And that is how we should be as parents. Our children should be able to call us, to run to us.
Yeah.
And no matter what, we don't go blaming them. "It's your fault. I've lost my job. It's your fault this happened to me. Probably because of an error. If you are not gone for that party, this wouldn't have happened." Mm-hmm. But if we can let them know that no matter what, we are the safest place.
Yeah.
At the end, our children always come to us. And we'll be able to be not become that generation that failed to discuss God.
The Joshua generation.
The Joshua generation that failed to discuss God.
It's a mystery. It's a mystery. You saw the Red Sea, and you didn't tell your children about the Red Sea parting. Hey!
Manna and all that.
So what were they telling? I mean, time or so. Seriously, it baffles my mind. It baffles my mind. I mean, people, read Deuteronomy chapter 6, and then read Judges chapter 2. Just suppose,
put it by it.
You see the, that means complete disobedience. Exactly what God said, don't, because if they, and that's exactly what they did. Anyway, time is 9 o'clock. So thank you for tuning in. This is Eben, and I have LP Hetty with me. Issues of Life is the program. Thank you for this evening. And it's recorded. It will be uploaded to the Telegram group and to the website, spiritissues.info. So God bless you. God willing, next week we'll be continuing from where we left off. Good night. And